Welcome to the Hospital Finance Podcast, your go-to source for information and insights that can help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital. And now, the host of the Hospital Finance Podcast, Michael Passanante.
Hi, this is Mike Passanante, and welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Kathy Ruggieri, who is a senior director on our revenue cycle services team here at Bessler, as well as Mary Devine, who is a senior manager on our revenue cycle services team at Bessler. Kathy and Mary recently presented at the New Jersey HFMA Annual Institute on a topic entitled Epic Conversion Revenue Cycle Lessons Learned. And we thought it'd be great to have them on the podcast and talk about some of the findings that they presented at that meeting. So Mary and Kathy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
So why did you choose to explore this topic?
So the reason we chose to explore this topic is that we felt that it was very industry relevant. We work with a lot of providers across the country, and it just seems in the last 2 to 3 years, we constantly hear we're converting to Epic. So even though we didn't have firsthand experience in terms of actually going through an Epic conversion, we thought it would be a good idea to really tap into our clients and really get some industry-relevant experience from them in terms of, how their conversion went and their lessons learned. We also did a lot of research and watched some other webcasts as well. So we just thought it would be something that would be very relevant to, especially when we embarked in the New Jersey area, because so many providers are converting in the next, year or two.
Kathy, thanks for setting that up for us. So let's dive right into some of the things that you did find. One of the things that comes up with Epic conversions is the term Big Bang. Can you explain to us what Big Bang means?
Sure. So Big Bang really means that when a hospital is embarking on the conversion, they're implementing all of the modules at once. So there's no real, it's not a transition conversion as some people may have experienced in the past. Also, as they are embarking on the conversion, there really is a philosophy with Epic of really limiting the bolt-on technology. There's bolt-on technology that does, you do have to bring over, but the bottom line is they're really looking to reduce as much bolt-on technology as possible. Another thing with regards to just the Big Bang is as hospitals are really evaluating the systems that they're going to be using, sometimes there is an effort to convert for the hospital, but also the physician environment as well, which is very new to a lot of organizations, and they're moving towards a single billing office. And in conjunction with this, often there is a movement towards a combined statement, and the combined statement gives the opportunity where it's really more patient-friendly, and so this is just a lot of change, but the philosophy really is to embark on it really all at once and do a cut over to the new way.
And Kathy, if I could just interject for 1 second. One of the big things that we heard about the Big Bang is the whole paperless. And we've been talking about going paperless for 20 plus years now. I think as long as I've been in healthcare, we've been talking about going paperless. And Epic really means paperless. They do not want you printing paper, keeping paper, any piece of paper that you have, it is immediately scanned into the into Epic, and then you shred that piece of paper, or hopefully you're not even generating paper. So that is a big piece of the Big Bang, because you're really just eliminating any processes that requires you to have paper. I'm sorry, Kathy, go ahead.
No, I think I'm good. I think we can move on, Mike.
Wow. So another term that comes up when people are speaking about Epic conversions is the black hole. Can you explain a little bit about that and how you can avoid the black hole?
Sure, Mike, I'll take that. So the black hole, Epic is infamous for creating these black holes. When we talk about the black hole, it's really the work queues and the way that you design your work queues that you risk a black hole being created. The intent of the work queue is to trigger your team to work an account timely. And, that is somewhat of a science, but also, you need to understand your payers. So you don't want any of your staff working an account that pays in 16 days, you don't want them working it on the 15th day. You want to work it on the 18th or the 20th day, because that's when you should begin following up on it because they haven't paid. And with that, providers tend to get real specific in their work queues and where they want an account to go and when they want it to show up and who's going to work it. And they get these accounts go off into these black holes, and you really can't get to them. Or worse yet, you forget, you know, you get so specific that there's pockets of AR that really never hit a work queue, and the accounts end up never getting work. So, although we say you want to be somewhat general, you certainly want to, again, consider when accounts get paid and how the payer works and so on and so forth as you design these work queues. The other thing to consider is if you have work queues set up for, you have 30 staff members and you have 30 work queues or 60 work queues, and they're all, you know, these two work queues are for Susie and these two work queues are Johnny, and Johnny quits and you forget to get Johnny's work queue worked until it's replaced a month and a half later, again, there's that kind of black hole that exists. And just as a final note, remember that as you're creating these workflows and these work queues, that you're not just looking at the hospital, but you're looking at the physician accounts as well. And those certainly have different timely billing and payment restrictions around them. So you want to watch that as well.
And one other thing I just wanted to mention, one of the common themes that we heard from a number of providers was that, you know, just because you set it up a certain way at the conversion doesn't mean that you can't reevaluate it and make changes to it post-conversion. And actually, a number of providers that we did speak with, that's exactly what they did. 6-9 months into it, they were making changes because they felt that maybe they just were overambitious, or, you know, they created too many or too few. And, you know, they were used to, and they got through the learning curve and all of that, and there was just an opportunity to really do some refinement. So just because you set it up a certain way doesn't mean that you can't make those changes, and to keep an open mind and constantly reevaluate.
And just one more point, Kathy, that's a good point. You know, as you're going into the Epic conversion and you're setting up work queues and you're thinking about your workflows, this is the time where you're really looking at your AR vendors and your outsourcing. And as you set up those work queues, that's the other thing you really need to consider, is what vendors are going to be working what population of accounts, so that you tag them to them and that you create work queues for them as well.
So speaking of vendors, when you were talking to the providers as you put the presentation together, did any of them recommend the use of consultants for any part of the conversion process?
You know, that's a good question. And the number one place where everybody stressed the importance of using a consultant was around the revenue cycle assessment. And they really, really, really stressed to us the importance of doing a full-blown revenue cycle assessment. And we're not talking just a quick look under the hood. We're talking like peeling back the layers of the onion and having a consulting firm that really specializes in revenue cycle assessments. And as you interview consultants to do this, we realize that, you know, this may be cost prohibitive, but I think as you look at the Epic conversion, I think you could probably cost justify doing this type of assessment, you know, $100,000, $150,000. I'm not exactly sure what the cost is. And this isn't a space that Bessler's in, but we heard all our providers say this was so important in helping them establish that roadmap and understanding where they are today and thinking about where they want to go as they consider, you know, the work queues and the paperless and, you know, having staff that specializes in physician billing and specializes in hospital billing. So I think really looking under the hood and understanding where you're at and doing that deep dive with the consultant that specializes in that is key to moving forward. This is your roadmap.
Yeah, and one other point with regards to this. One of the things, whether you have your consulting partner or something that you handle internally, but really make an effort in terms of the metrics. One of the things that Epic is really known for is their exceptional dashboard. And everyone we spoke with just raved about, just how great it was. But that's great because you're cutting over and you're bringing over your new AR with the conversion, but what you don't have is the picture before. And so it's really, really important to understand what your baseline metrics were pre-conversion so that you really have the ability to do that comparative. So you can really see if there's disconnects. So once you're doing the system cutover, are there really things, are there charges that are not coming over? Are there disconnects from a DNFB perspective? But if you are only really monitoring the new and not comparing to the old, actually, I went to one full presentation on just, you know, the baseline metrics and having it in that comparison. So there's been a lot of, just emphasis on the importance of that.
Epic has something called a playground. Can you tell us what the playground is and how important that might be?
Sure. The playground really essentially is the testing environment within Epic, and it's really an opportunity where you and your team can go and really spend a lot of time and just in terms of just learning how to use Epic. It's really critical to your long-term success, and almost everyone we spoke with felt that there was just not enough time with regards to the testing and being able to spend the time in the playground, so to speak. Charging is probably really one of the areas where everyone talked about the importance of testing. We even had one provider who made the decision to test every single charge combination. I think it was like 5,000 different charge routines, and they really took it to the next level and above because they just felt they were so committed to not having that disconnect. I mean, when you think about it, you're making this big conversion, and you really want to make sure you can't have revenue leakage. And, you know, as much testing as you can do in the area of charging, the better. Also, just having the buy-in, just from a leadership perspective, in terms of, you know, the emphasis on this initiative around the testing is also important. Talked a lot with providers with regards to parallel revenue cycle testing. So really mapping things through your old system and then mapping things through the new system and really seeing how things pan out in terms of the final bill. Are you really able to see all your condition codes and occurrence codes and value codes and all those things coming over? So really, really important. Our providers couldn't emphasize that enough.
I completely agree with you 100%. I think the common theme across all the providers we spoke with, they said that this piece was just critical to their long-term success.
What did they say about training when you spoke to the providers?
Well, this was another common response was you just can't train enough. And, you know, in terms of just specifically within the revenue cycle, you know, moving to the new workflows and the work queues and really, you know, a lot of the staff that within business offices have been there for a number of years. So this is really a really big change and, you know, really making that investment in the training process was just so, so important. We did hear some, you know, kind of flipping over to a clinical side, did hear some horror stories that some nurses and doctors didn't even realize that they were responsible for the charging process. So, you know, just making that investment in the training was really, really important. Do you have anything else to add on that, Mary? Or
the one thing I remember them talking about, you know, again, across the board is that Epic requires a core team to be certified to do the training on site, and that that core training team will go out to Epic and they'll get trained there, and then they'll come back and, you know, do the train the trainer thing, but they have a real strong competency around their trainers being certified. And the other thing we found across some of the providers is that some of the providers required the users before they got their user ID to be tested, and they had to get an 80% or above, or they could not get their username and ID and password. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and just one more thing that I had left out, you know, just the whole training initiative and that investment. You know, you are going to see a change with regards to your productivity and the emphasis on your existing AR before you do your cutover. So really taking that into consideration in terms of, you know, are you going to see that drop in productivity, and how does that relate to your conversion plan related to outsourcing and those types of things? So just another thing to consider.
Is there one piece of advice you could offer to providers that are getting ready to go through an Epic conversion?
You know, I think the one piece of advice through all this, I definitely would recommend that providers do not underestimate the implementation. 18 months sounds like a really long time to work on something, but it really goes fast, and there's a lot to do if you talk about, you know, your workflows and understanding, combining the complete one statement with the physician and the hospital piece. And there were some providers that they said 18 months wasn't long enough, and they took it out to 2 years because they, you know, they really wanted to make sure that they got this thing right. You know, it is a conversion of a lifetime, really. And you cannot underestimate that. And it's just critical that everybody is geared up and ready to go.
Yeah, and just to add to that real quickly, I think a couple of providers even said, you know, they felt they approached it almost like a project at first, as opposed to it being like a conversion. And they just really underestimated what really this was. And it was just, they got through it and all of that, but it was just very, very difficult.
Yep. And you just need to consider, you know, when are you going to start partnering with consultants, and how long do you want them involved in the process as you're moving forward? You know, again, some had consultants on site for well over a year helping them go through this. And the other thing you can't forget is the health and welfare of your employees. You know, the 40-hour weeks during this conversion process, they're over. And you need to make sure that your staff is continuously motivated and ready to go, and consider having, you know, celebrations of whatever it is. You know, you got through training, you throw a little party, you got through
testing,
you throw a little party. So you constantly want to be rewarding small steps and keeping the staff motivated and ready to go as you get through this conversion. Because again, not to repeat myself, but it is a conversion of a lifetime, and it's important. It's a lot of money that you as a provider are investing, and you want it to go right.
Kathy and Mary, thanks for stopping by and shedding some light on the insights that you found around Epic conversions.
Thank you.
If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss on the Hospital Finance Podcast, or if you'd like to be a guest, drop us a line at update@bessler.com.
This concludes today's episode of the Hospital Finance Podcast. For show notes and additional resources to help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital, visit bessler.com/podcasts. The Hospital Finance Podcast is a production of Bessler Consulting.